hopefully help you to just walk with your head up. You know, you're a believer, you're a child of God. There's something powerful in that. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. We're going to get a good one this morning. So, Father, we're yielding to you again. Father, we want to yield our hearts right now to you. And, Father, say that, Father, if you want to speak to us through this message and be able to penetrate some areas of our life, Lord, to help encourage us, to uplift us, to edify, to build us up, Father, may we be willing and able and then continue to receive of that encouragement this morning, that we are built up in Christ, Lord, that our faith is built, that our faith is stronger when we leave than it was when we came in, Lord, that we trust you, we believe that you have called us unto a purpose, and that, Father, in this, that we are willing and able and wanting to yield ourselves to it and allow you to do what you want to do, Lord. I just pray for it, Lord. We thank you for it. We trust you for it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. We say amen. Amen and amen. So I noticed over the, I don't know how long it's been, it's you'll notice in the body of Christ, the longer that you walk with the Lord, sometimes if you're close with the Lord and you're staying kind of in with what God is speaking and doing in and through the body of Christ, sometimes you notice kind of waves in it. You know, we've had revivals in our country in recent months and universities breaking out and things happening. But there's also kind of the other side of that. That's the positive side that you can see. But sometimes you'll see kind of the other side of that as well, where you'll notice kind of an oppression or a heaviness or kind of a lack of what seems like the presence of God and the anointing and things in the body of Christ as well. And I've noticed kind of what I called an oppression over many believers in the United States lately. I won't speak for other countries because they have some other things going on. But in our country, I've noticed kind of this oppression where Christians have become afraid to share their faith. Okay? And many are even ashamed to let people know that they're even a Christian. You know, they'll be in a circle or in a group or in a whatever situation, and they're kind of hesitant to speak out or to let it be known of who they are and that they're a believer in that context. You know, I thought about that word ashamed, and I guess the message I put is unashamed, and you could put being in front of that. Being unashamed, that's what we're talking about today. But I looked up the word ashamed in a dictionary to see what it said, and I know if you look it up, you'll find the same thing. It's usually, it stems from feelings of guilt. Okay, that's where people feel ashamed. That something happened, they did something usually, and so they feel ashamed. They're feeling guilty about something. Okay, well, if you look at God's Word instead of looking in a dictionary, you'll see what it tells us about being ashamed or feeling guilty and those kind of things. Romans 8:1 is a good place to start. It says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, okay, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, no condemnation. Okay, and that is speaking of God Himself and His view of you and what He thinks of you. Okay, the Christian who walks in the power of and is led by the Holy Spirit has no reason to be ashamed. Okay, they have no reason to be afraid to be who God has called them to be. You know, if God has made you a believer, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you trusted in Him, you're a Christian, be a Christian. Live out that life. Live out who God has called you to be. Another place in God's Word, it also says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Okay, that word torment, look it up in the Greek, it means punishment. Okay? Fear has punishment. In other words, there's something that you're expecting and you're receiving that in fear. Okay? And it says, he that fears is not made perfect in love. Or in other words, made perfect means hasn't become mature in love or hasn't developed an understanding of the love that God has for you. Because understanding how much God loves you and cares for you and why He did what He did on the cross, why He sent Jesus, understanding the life that you have as a believer, it really casts fear right out of your life. Okay? Because there is no torment or no punishment because you're not condemned by God. We just read that. There's no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit. Okay? And so when we're in the Spirit and we're walking in the Spirit, we keep our faith in Jesus Christ. We're believing totally that it's based on what Jesus did and not what I did. It's based on our faith in the completed works of Christ and not what I can do or what I did to get to this point. Okay? And yet, so many believers today are still, even though the scriptures tell us this, even though that we can have the love that casts out fear, and even though we can live this kind of a life, so many believers are still ashamed to be a believer. To be ashamed also means to be humiliated. Okay? It signifies feeling inferior, feeling inadequate, or embarrassed. Okay? How many Christians today are embarrassed to be known for it? Don't really want people to know. They don't want to give praise out loud. Okay? Or maybe they never talk about their relationship with God. Maybe they don't comfort others with the comfort wherewith they are comforted. Okay? The Holy Spirit, they never talk about that. They never try to share when somebody's going through something. They never say, you know what? God loves you, man. Jesus is right here with us. They never bring Christ or the Trinity into the conversation at all. Okay? And people sometimes don't even associate somebody like that with Christ at all. Okay, they just think of them as kind of a, maybe they're a goody two-shoes, maybe they're not, maybe they're just like everybody else, okay, but they're not really even associated with Jesus at all. The Apostle Paul set a great example for us in the Scriptures, and he absolutely declared that he was not the least bit embarrassed, okay, of his faith in Christ. His relationship with Jesus was paramount. He could care less what other people thought in that sense. Okay, he wanted to be known as a man of God. We see that in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 15, Romans 1, 15 and 16. He says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Okay, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You should print that on your refrigerator, right? Say it every day. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Okay, to what is referred to, or he referred to as his son in the Lord, Timothy, he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. He said this. He says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Okay, listen to the huge importance that Jesus puts on being willing to be known as a follower of his. If you listen to the language, there are several scriptures. Each of the first four Gospels has some reference to it where they're talking about Jesus making a statement regarding those that follow him and their faith. And here's some of the things. He said, "Whoever is ashamed to stand out as being righteous in the middle of a sinful world would cause him to be ashamed of them." Yeah, you know, that doesn't, and that's kind of a hit home kind of verse, I guess, when you read that. Oh, let's read it. It's in Mark chapter 8, okay, 34 through 38. Mark chapter 8, 34 through 38. It says, "And when he," he's talking about Jesus, "and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Then verse 38, he says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be me, right? I don't want that to be my life. I don't want to be known as someone that was ashamed of Jesus. I don't want to bow down when the pressure's on and buckle in my faith and say, well, you know, I guess I'm not as strong a Christian as I thought I was, and I'll just walk away from this. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the one that's ashamed of my faith in Jesus. The truth is that you must accept the reality. Okay, and here's a truth for you. Accept the reality that being a strong Christian believer is not going to make you the most loved and accepted person in a room full of unbelievers. Even among Christians, being a strong, outspoken Christian, being charismatic, filled with the fruits of the Spirit, and you're walking in it and the anointing, you will not be loved and favored by some of the people, even in the body of Christ. Okay, they're either jealous of you, they think you've taken it too far, you're too extreme, whatever. But guess what? When the stuff comes to the fan, right? One of them will remain standing and the other will not, right? And it's the one who is. The Lord is everything. Okay, the one who is filled and walking in the power of God. Okay, what that means is, if we need to accept this reality that you're not going to be completely accepted by others in a room, it means that there's got to be some benefit to it, right? I mean, if we're just thinking, well, why would I want to be a Christian like that, right? People are going to come at me. People aren't going to like me, whatever. Okay, get this. Jesus said that's the way it would be. That's all the reason I need. If Jesus said, this is the way it's going to be, that you will be persecuted, people are going to come against you, and then it starts happening, I don't look at that as a negative. I don't look at that and say, oh man, I shouldn't be such a good Christian because people are starting to persecute me. Okay? I look at it like, this is exactly what Jesus said, it's happening. And I get excited about it because now I know I'm on the right track. I'm living my life for Jesus and it's happening. This is exactly what Jesus said would happen. Look at this passage in Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read Matthew 10, 32 through 36. This is Jesus speaking. It'll be in red in most Bibles, red ink. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. But then he says this, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Okay, in other words, that means that your faith in Jesus will cause some separation between you and certain people in your life. You have to accept that. Okay, be okay with that. You're going to lose some of those friends that almost all those friends that I had when I came to Jesus did not want anything to do with me anymore. Okay, they persecuted me. They came at me, called me names and different things. I was talking to somebody, one of the boys, I think the other day, we were talking about how long I'd been out of school for some reason. And I got on this reunion thing and I was like, you know, it's been a long time since I was in high school, and I'm sure they're doing another reunion, you know, in a couple years and whatever. So I was kind of counting out the decades. And he said, you haven't been to one for a long time. And I said, no, because at my tenure, I went back and I was so full of Jesus that nobody wanted to be around me. There was a couple of people that had gotten saved or that were saved in school that I didn't even know about when I was in high school. And they actually came and were, you know, hey man, so glad God got a hold of your life, you know, glad you gave your life to Jesus. But for the most part, it was a really negative experience. I got persecuted. People were calling me names and Jesus freak and a bunch of stuff, you know, because of things that had gone on. And I wasn't preaching at anybody. I was being me, right? And if they were going through a tough time, what did I do? I wasn't going to say, oh, you should, you know, get drunk. That'll make you feel better. You know, that was the old man, right? The new man said, man, you should go the Jesus route. I mean, it's not easy, but life is much better than it was. And I know that he can help because he got me through this and he can help you through that. And anyway, that's what that means. Sometimes some of the people in your life, because of your faith, will not want to be around you. And that's okay. Okay. They'll, if they're coworkers, they're people you got to be around, their family, they'll put up with you.
They will.
They'll put up with you. Okay? It'll be okay. You have to get that in your head. It'll be okay. Okay? As long as you're walking with Jesus, it's going to be okay. Okay? They need Jesus, and the only way they're going to see Jesus is through you, so you might as well just be Jesus. Keep being who you are right there. Okay? The Apostle Paul said that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay? That's a shall. It's going to happen. Okay? So when it does happen, thank you, Jesus. Praise God that I'm willing and able to go through this. Now, you might need to remind yourself at times of what your relationship with Christ really means to you. Okay, why be outspoken? Why be who you are? Okay, well, for starters, Jesus saved you. If you're a born-again Christian today, Jesus saved you from the pit of hell. Right? That's somebody say amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we couldn't do that. You couldn't make yourself good enough to get to heaven. Okay, you had to have Jesus, and Jesus did that. So thank you, Jesus. You can praise him for that. Okay, he also spared your life and called you into his kingdom so that you could tell others about him. Okay, you are, remember, he is the head, we are the body, right? He's the think tank, right? He's the one that gives us how to do this stuff, but we have to go out and do it. It is our hands and feet and mouths that he uses. Jesus defeated sin and death. Okay? He washed you clean of your sin with his own blood, okay? Self-sacrifice, he gave it all for you. Okay? And then he has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Those are all scriptures. That's what he has done for you. Okay? It is his righteousness that was gifted to you that makes you right with God. Okay? I can say I am righteous today, not because I do it right, I did it right, but because Jesus is righteous and he gave that to me as a free gift. So I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that scripture. Okay? I have that because of him. Okay? It is his greatness that I can be thankful for. Okay? It is his awesomeness and his willingness to do these things that I can worship him and adore him for. You know, the Apostle Peter admonished us to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is inside of you. Okay, why do you have hope in the midst of a tough situation? Why do you have, you know, light in your eyes when there's darkness all around you? Why do you have that? Peter says this, it's 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. He said to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear or reverence. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Do you catch that? He's saying, be ready to tell people about the good, what Jesus is doing, and I got hope in Jesus, but prepare yourself because they're going to come at you and they're going to say, man, you're messed up, right? You're a mess. They're not going to understand it. They're going to actually falsely accuse your good conduct as being evil. Okay? They're going to accuse you as being the one that is part of the problem. Okay? People may come against you, but I'm here to tell you that it doesn't mean that you're wrong for standing with Jesus and standing firm in his promises. Just because somebody comes at you or disagrees with your faith in Jesus doesn't mean that they're right. Okay? It doesn't mean that you're wrong and that you shouldn't be standing on his promises. What it is that they don't know about his love. They don't know about his grace and his power, the power of God that's working in your life. Okay? And it's up to you and I then to just live it out and to help them to be able to see and to know what it is that helps you and what is this hope that you have in you. I remember I was in working in a place in Nebraska, and these people that had the office across the hall from me were having this big discussion about quitting smoking, right? One of them wanted to quit. Well, I think they both did, and they were having a big discussion kind of back and forth, and pretty soon one of them hollers out across the hallway and says, Gary, you used to smoke, didn't you? And I said, yeah. And he said, how did you quit? What did you use to quit? Okay. And I remember my answer. They were expecting me to say, oh, I used the nicotine patch, or, you know, I chewed that nicotine gum, or, you know, they were expecting some kind of answer, or, you know, willpower, man, it's all willpower. They had it. I know that they expected some sort of an answer. So he said, how did you quit? What did you use? And I remember very distinctly, I said, just Jesus. And one of them said, I knew he was going to say that. Okay? That's the way I lived. They knew it. The scripture was on my door, my desk, my Bible on the desk. They knew. They knew. And so he was just confirming it. Really? Gary, how did you quit? And I yelled, just Jesus. Okay? That's how that works. Okay? It was a literal experience of being just Jesus that delivered me from that. Many of you know my testimony and history and all that stuff. But at that point, I had been clean for many years. But early on in my Christian walk, when I first gave my life to Christ, I had a lot of addictions. And one of them was nicotine. And I had chewed for close to 15 years and smoked for the last 5 at the same time, whatever's more convenient, or sometimes both at the same time. It was a mess. Right? Well, one day I got tired of that as a young Christian. And my pastor told me, you don't have to do that anymore. You can get that spirit of addiction cast out. And I went to him and I said, Pastor, I'm ready. Let's do this. I want this. I want to be done with this addiction to nicotine. It's embarrassing to me. I was, you know, having to hide, be a closet smoker. And, you know, as a Christian, I felt like I shouldn't be doing it. It's not the worst sin in the world. It makes you smell like you've been to hell, but it doesn't send you there. Okay. But it was one of those things that as a Christian, I just didn't want it. I felt like I was abusing my body and I didn't like it. I didn't want it anymore. So I said, I want this. I want to be done. And so in the name of Jesus, we cast that spirit of addiction to nicotine out. And I never had to do that again. It was drugs and nicotine, alcohol and nicotine all at once. Okay, but I never had to go back to that. I tried it once, just to be honest. Several months later, I tried smoking a cigarette and it made me sick. Right? So I threw it away and that... I just reminded myself of why that was not necessary anymore. Okay, so that is reminding people or telling people the truth. I mean, how did you quit? It was just Jesus. That was my only hope. I had tried other ways on my own, tried my willpower, tried to hide it, you know, all those things that we do. But I knew that Jesus had the power. My pastor said he did, and I believed. And I believed the scriptures he showed me. Okay, so when the early disciples of Jesus were... At one point, they had healed a guy, which I know it sounds good to us, but it was bad to some people because they healed a guy and they were upset about it. They got detained. The disciples were detained. They were questioned about Jesus. They could have been quiet at that moment. They could have hung their heads. They could have walked away slowly, okay, but they didn't. Okay, they didn't because they felt this deep inner need to share Jesus, to be able to share what had happened and how Jesus had done it. Here's the story. Let's look at it. It's in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 13. It says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside and out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or to teach, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, when it really comes down to it, what is right in the sight of God? Is it right for you to be silent, to be ashamed of Jesus, or is it right for you to speak what you have heard and experienced for yourself? Okay, how many of you have been saved by Jesus Christ? Okay, yeah. For you to be silent and ashamed of that is not necessary. He's done something you could not do, so just tell people that. Jesus did what I could not do. Okay? You know, I don't know about you, but I know I am far better than I was before Jesus, right? I went down a hard road and lived that way, and many of you did too, I know. Okay, then you've got something to say. You've got something to tell, experiences to share. You have testimony, right, to be able to speak out. So don't be afraid to do so. Because you know what happened to these disciples? Okay, these guys were bucking the system, right? They went against the commands, the wishes of the leadership, and they got thrown in jail and beaten and sentenced to death, right? No, they didn't. You know what happened to them? They walked away. Okay, let's read it. Okay, I say it that way because here's what Christians think. I can't speak out about Jesus, I'll lose my job. How often does that happen? I can't speak out about Jesus because, you know, it makes people feel uncomfortable. They won't want to be with me. Okay, maybe, maybe not. I told you, coworkers are pretty good at putting up with people. Okay, we think the worst. Okay, I won't get into that. We think the worst. Sometimes we think that, oh man, if I'm bold about Jesus, if I'm just outspoken, I'm going to get thrown in jail. They'll probably put me to death with a firing squad. But it's not true. Okay, watch what happens in Acts 4:21, the next verse here. It says this. It says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Your life is a living testimony. Your life is a glorifying God testimony. They can come against you, but they can't punish you for it. What are they going to do? They're not going to. Okay, and at some point I know most of these guys were put to death and boiled in oil and all that stuff. How much of that have you heard about in the last 1,000 years in our country? Not very often. But why don't we speak out? Okay, there's that fear. We've got to get over that. You know, when you're speaking truth, people can try to come against it, but they're going to end up kind of eating their own words. I mean, they're just testifying for you. Oh, look at that guy. He's saying that Jesus helped him get off of drugs and quit smoking. Thanks for testifying to Jesus, man. That's all he did by saying that. Okay, it's just helping to further the cause of Christ. And yet, you know, as of yet, it is still not a crime to tell somebody about Jesus. Okay, as of yet, it is not a crime to be a Christian in our country. Okay, we can still be believers. If you live day by day with your faith in Jesus, there is nothing wrong with that. Okay, it's a good way to be. Okay, I heard a woman in the hardware store the other day, and she was bold with her faith. She just walked in. She was talking to the guy at the paint counter, right? Okay, you're going to get some paint mixed in. And she walked in, and how you doing? Oh, I'm praising the Lord. It's a beautiful day the Lord has made. You know, okay, what can I do for you? I need some paint. I prayed, and the Lord Jesus, he provided a need for me to remodel, and I'm here to get my paint. And let's see, I think I'll take this lavender color because, you know, purple is the color of royalty. And since I'm a child of God, I am royalty. And I think I need to have a purple room. Okay? It wasn't Pam either. It was somebody else. It wasn't Regina either. No. Sounds like Regina, but it wasn't Regina. Okay? But do you know what the guy behind the counter did? Did he kick her out and say, "Lady, you're way too Jesus-y to be in here. You need to go somewhere else." No. You know what he did? He got her paint and got her as fast as he could and treated her like a princess. Okay? She was bold about it. There was no, you know, and nothing bad happened. That's my point. Nothing bad happened to her. People can talk. I'm still talking about her, right? In a good way. You know, you don't have to be perfect to be bold about your faith in Christ either. Okay? Sometimes we think, well, I got to be living right. It helps. It does. It helps to have testimonies and things. You're living your life in a way that exemplifies Christ. You're saying, I'm a believer. He doesn't like this stuff, so neither do I. Okay? And so we can live our life in a way that exemplifies Christ in that way. But you have to remember that when you testify, it is not you that you are giving thanks to. Okay? It is not you that you are testifying of. It's your Savior. Right? It's the great one. It's the one who accomplished everything that you could and couldn't do. Right? He did it for you. Think about David. Kind of one last story here this morning, but think about David. Hey, David did a dance of praise, I call it. Okay, and I want to read this to you. It's a little lengthy, but I think you can handle reading scripture in church. So it's 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting in verse 12. It's the story of when they were bringing the ark in. Okay, and if you remember, at one point they were hauling the ark across. They were kind of heading towards where David was at. David was a king. Okay, and they were bringing the ark, and I think if I remember the story, the way it goes, that they were bringing it, and the guys that were carrying it, one of them kind of stumbled, and he reached out and touched the ark, and he was struck dead on the spot. Okay, well, that struck fear into most people, including David. So the ark was on its way to David, and he says, I think we need to store it over here for a while, and just let the anger of the Lord settle down. And so they took it, and they brought it, it's Obed-Edom, okay, and they took it and put it in this place for a while, and the people there were blessed because the presence of God was there. Instead of them being struck dead like David was thinking, they were blessed. So somebody finally comes and tells David and says, David, king, those guys are being blessed because they got the ark over there. You should just have it come here. Okay, and that's kind of where we pick this up right here. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting in verse 12. It says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Edom, there's a mouthful. And all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God being in his house. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. I'll describe that real quick. It's basically the top part of a priest's outfit. So he didn't have the bottom part on. He didn't care, okay, at that point. Okay, and so David was girded with a linen ephod. Verse 15, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. There's the haters, right? And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of the offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women as the men. To everyone he gave a cake of bread and a good piece of fish and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. Verse 20, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, and she's mocking him, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than this, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Okay, David danced in his underwear, and when he's questioned about it, When the haters come and start mocking him, okay, and said, why would you do that? You're crazy. You're mad to do this. He gets made fun of for it. But he says, I'm just dancing before the Lord my God. Okay, and if you think what you've seen so far was wild, basically he's saying, just watch me. Okay, because I'm just getting started. I will be even more undignified than this. Okay, that's what it means to be vile. It means to be undignified. Okay, he says, I will be. There's a great song called Undignified. You should look it up. If you know David's story, though, okay, here's a man who's praising God, dancing before the Lord, blessing the people. What I see there is the presence of God made him even more generous. Okay, so he's a man of God. He had, you know, at one point, it said that he had a heart for God, even being described as a man after God's own heart. Okay, But he was also described at one point as a murderer and an adulterer. Okay, yet he was still confident to praise the one that could have destroyed him in hell for his sins, but didn't. Okay, kind of like us. If you know this, the whole story about the Ark of God, everywhere that the Ark went, it brought blessings. Okay, it represented the literal presence, the tangible presence of God. And when it came into a region or into a city, okay, the people rejoiced with trumpets and singing and dancing and tambourines and harps and castanets, these little things. I picture them as little things of wood that they clacked, okay, or they would flip it back and forth and it would clack. You ever see those kind of toys or those kind of instruments? Okay, and they would use cymbals and they would make this roaring sound whenever the Ark of God came, because it was worth rejoicing of. Okay, they wanted to be excited about that. Well, David had ordered the Ark to be brought to his city, into Jerusalem, and he was ecstatic. Okay, in David's eyes, there could be nothing better than to have the presence of God close to him. Okay, well, now as a Christian believer, you get to have the power and presence of God literally dwelling inside of you. I think that's worth getting excited about and staying excited about. Okay, don't just say, oh, it's a once and done. It's not. It's a forever. It's a lifetime. It's a, wow, it just keeps getting better moment. Okay, it's this thing where we get to fully experience. The more that we understand God, the more He can reveal, the more fullness we begin to walk in, it just gets better and better and better and better. Okay, it's worth staying excited about. It's all about being grateful to your master. Okay, it's about being thankful to be part of the kingdom of God. It's about being thankful for being a believer. Okay, you don't have to be ashamed of Jesus in your life. Okay, stand up and shout the name of Jesus. Be bold. Those people around you that try to squelch your faith or to make you feel uncomfortable about being an outspoken Christian, they need to read God's word, and maybe you can quote it to them, where it says that He will literally destroy the ungodly, and that the day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're just trying to help them get there ahead of time so they can start the process, right? You're wanting to help them. You're not in the wrong to be a Christian. Okay? You've not done anything to be ashamed of by believing in Jesus. Okay, the world will mock you. They'll make you feel like you're stupid. They'll call you a fool. They might even think you're a fool. But you're far wiser than they are. Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Okay, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Okay, He saved you on purpose and for a purpose. So be bold about it. Be okay with it. Okay, and know that it's going to alter the course of your life and the lives of people around you. God's got a plan for you and the people in your life. Amen. Father, we are praising You this morning. We rejoice in our salvation, Lord. I'm grateful. Grateful to be here today. Grateful to be part of this ministry. Grateful to be a part of the kingdom of God. I'm grateful and thankful for all that You've done up to this moment, Lord. And I'm grateful for what's yet to come, because I see it, Lord. It's going to be good. Father, You're in it, and that means it's good. Father, You work all things together for our good. So, Father, we are leaning into You this morning and looking forward to the future, looking forward to the days ahead. Father, I pray for that spiritual boldness, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is where it comes from, so I pray, Holy, have Your way in our lives today, that we can rejoice in our salvation, that we can go forth with a greater strength that's even supernatural, beyond our own human ability. Not something we work up, but something You bring up. You rise up within us. Father, let it be our way of life as we live our life as a believer, Lord. Our heads held high, thanking You, praising You, giving You the credit, pointing people to You, just living like a believer. Father, we trust You, we praise You, and we thank You for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen. God is a good God.